Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
This is the world that you know. You've been living in a dream world. World as it was at the end of the 20th century.
Talk Radio 2012, and we're coming to you from Detroit, Michigan, and my name is Beverly.
And my name is Darnell.
And tonight our discussion will be what is going on in Detroit with the mayor, with our mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick. But before we get into that discussion, I want to talk about another person here in Michigan, and his name is John Dingell, and he is a Michigan congressman. And what he wants to do is he wants to add 50-cent tax to every gallon of gas. Now, to me, that tells me that I don't know where his mind has been or what he's thinking about, but have he seen how much gas is? And he want to add 50 cents to every gallon of gas. I think that it's time for him to retire. Because, I mean, how could he even come up with something like that at this time, as high as gas is?
Easy. He got some benefit out of it. That's the only reason I can see, though. He got some deep pockets.
Well, he says that he want to do that to cut back on the American consumption of gas. So he feels like if he make it so high that we can't afford gas, we won't use it. That's his rationale behind adding the 50 cent.
Ouch. Now he can sit there and charge us 50 cent and say let's go towards our medical and dental plan for Americans. You know what I'm saying? Americans, if they spend 50 cents a day. I didn't say a dollar like you said, 50 cents. I'm going, think about it. Look how many people in America. That's over, I say, what, a couple of doggone, almost up in the billions, doubling millions. I mean, I know it's beyond a million, but think about it.
Yeah.
50 cents a day from every American. And people will do it. Even the doggone homeless will do it. They have medical and dental. All right, then look how much money that would be. It would be phenomenal. All right, then, but they don't want that to happen. That's too easy to put a network together in the center, spread it out like a spider web, and everybody put 50 cents a day, pay by the week, the month, the year, or whatever. But look at it. Every human being on the planet, the rich and the poor, what doctor would turn down that money, cash money?
Right. But he's not even – that's too much like making sense what you're saying. He's just talking about – he wants to add 50 cents to every gallon. So if you get 5 gallons of gas, you got to pay 50 cents times 5.
Well, I'm going to stream this. So personally, I ain't going to lie to you. They should add $10 to the gas. And for the ones who don't comprehend, I'll break it down to you. But the ones who do, it's funny, ain't it? Because if you put $10 to that gas right now, Not that the whole comedy will fold and freak out and stop, but they will figure out another way of transportation. In America, they don't like when nobody pushes them too much, and they spoil anyway. So let them keep on messing with America and the world, all right? Because other people like, it's used to, remember back in the day, they walked, they'll tell you in a minute, I walked 10 miles to school. And even when we were coming up, look, you went to Catholic school, I went there a little bit, but look, we had to walk about 2 or 3 miles to school. My point is now, the kids get written school, picking up, and all that. So I'm like, hey, put $10 on it, and what's going to happen is going to happen, because they will create. That's what man do, mind. And so we will create a way to make ourselves. We don't need cars. We might come up with a flying machine. Oop, we do got them on. Portable ones, oop, we got that too. All right, then I'm just saying is let them go ahead and put that pressure on us. We different from the rest of the world. We will shut them down. We will come up with something else. They laws and stuff. It's something that's adaptable that everybody can use. It's a helicopter that we can hook our arms in, and it's a flash across town. They going to mess around, and them cars will be leaked in a minute. Let them keep on fooling around. Go ahead, Beverly.
We got a call. We got a 580 call. Hello?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
Hi.
How you doing?
I just tuned in to basically listen to the start of the conversation to see what, you know, where it's going.
Okay, well,
because what's
your name?
Say again, Sam.
What's your name?
Noel.
Oh, Noel. Okay,
yes.
Man, I'm tired.
Where you calling from, Noel?
From Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. Yeah, tonight we're going to talk about the mayor. What's going on here in Detroit?
Are y'all in Detroit?
Yes.
Oh, yes. We definitely.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I went to King High. There's.
Oh, okay. That's on the east side right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it was interesting for this topic right here to come on.
Oh, okay. They talk about the mayor.
Yeah, well, yeah, talking, I mean, you know, personally, how stupid could one be, you know?
I ain't gonna lie to you.
You know
what? Like I said, when we get into that, it's all on angles. All right? Did I hear what you're saying? But that's obvious. But don't you look at him, don't he seem kind of sure that he ain't going to jail? Maybe I could be wrong, but don't it seem like he might know something and I'm going, everybody done convict him. But then you notice they keep saying, let the court of law doing it. I'm going, you got to listen to what all the ones are supposed to be thinking, saying out of their mouth. See, a lot of the Senate and everybody, and even the governor, everybody's being quiet. The news is making money off of it, so, hey, they got to run with it, but... Like I said, when Beverly finishes up what she's talking about, we finna jump right into
that.
Well,
I'm finished. We on it now. We can start
on it. All right, dear. So now, well, really, like I said, I'm going to let you get started with him, okay? Go ahead.
Yeah. So, we just wanted to give a little bit more insight on what's really going on here, because you seeing the one-minute sound bites from the news media, but you're not getting the whole picture. And what you have here is the prosecutor. Her name is Kim Worthy. Now, I'm not saying if the mayor is guilty or not guilty. What they're trying him on is perjury for lying in court. But what's going on is that the prosecutor, this is her last term. She's running for re-election. So she wants the mayor's seat, or either she wants to continue to be the prosecutor. So pretty much her hand was forced. She had to make some kind of decision, and she basically had to make the decision what she made. She had to prosecute him, but you notice she's not doing it. She put her teeth at that her schedule is too heavy. She's too busy, and she can't prosecute him herself, but her team will be the one that will be in court.
But can I ask you a question?
Yes.
My thing is, right, we know in American society, once you sit up here and you're not the lay person no more, like, I don't know if y'all in politics or whatever it is, but once you venture into that political game world, all cards are off the table.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you're saying is, like you said, he a black man, So he should have known better. I understand exactly
what
you're saying.
He been in there for so long, right?
Right.
And sooner or later, when you start playing politics, right, I don't care what you did as a little kid. I don't care what you did, you know, as a teenager. You smoked dope, you didn't smoke dope, whatever it is. They're going to go after you. You understand what I'm saying? And for me personally, the reason why I said, you know, sometimes we are so educated that we dumb, deaf, and blind is to the point where, you know, here you go with a cell phone knowing that you can track traffic anywhere you want to. You understand? Right? And you texting, you know, this married woman. You understand what I'm saying? And they can pull that up anytime they want to. So here you are, the mayor of Detroit, right, or any city, okay, going to put yourself out there, right, when you have a wife and family. You know, you could have done it in any other way. But the phone system, right, you know, it just, come on now, they're looking at you.
Well, think about it, though. He's the first person, all right, Dan, the first black male, the first mayor that got caught up on technology that we've been talking about anyway. And oops, he got caught up on the text, but they're going to use the perjury, but the text is the key. But like I said, you got to look at it as political. So I'm going to do like the rest of them do with the legal system judging, because I'm going, yeah, that was authentic. That was totally wrong. But his sexual life, I'm like this. If his wife don't got a problem with it, it ain't none of my business. But
I got a question.
The money that he done spent for charging us, and they said that to pay this off, I'm like, okay then. Now that's wrong there, because I'm going, Detroit going through hell anyway, and we don't need nobody else trash. But go ahead, get it out with you, sir.
Yeah, but my biggest problem, I'm an individual, I'm a single, you know, I'm a single father, three kids, right? I got a daughter, right? You know, and that's why, you know, yes, I talk about politics and so on, but if I sit up here running for politics, I know in my head what's going to come out. You understand? It's the same thing if we didn't look back and see what it did to Jesse Jackson, right? When he was sitting up in here, and you remember when George Bush was running, right? And he went back and he said, okay, he smoked dope when he was 18 or 19. Guess what they did? They went after Jesse Jackson and found out that he had a kid with this other woman taking money and paying her, right? My thing is, if you sit up here and don't know the system, you a mayor or a politician, United States, black, white, child, and don't know the system, you're dumb.
Okay, I'll help you out. Okay, I'm just, I hope you don't mind. How old are you?
50.
He's 50. See, he's a kid. Remember when we was 38 and 39 years old? We know a lot now than we did then. And it's kind of different. See, like you taking care of your kids, just you and stuff and everything. You know what it is to be a man. Yeah, mama and daddy always been around. And he got the churches. You know how that is. You figure with all that around, it's like Kobe. You would figure Kobe's father been in the business. Kobe got all that money. He know what's going on. How can Kobe get caught in there? Because Kobe might have been around us, but Kobe is not us. And that's what I'm saying about this young guy. He's been around us, but he wasn't raised like us. And I'm going, you're right. Ain't no way in the world we would have made that mistake. But he's young, and he's still growing.
But I beg to differ with you, sir, right?
Okay.
His mother, right, in politics. You understand what I'm saying? His mother is in politics.
Who have the worst kids? The ones who have? Who have the worst kids? The ones
you're
who
right.
have? Or the
Look,
ones who don't have?
Look, you're right, but his mother in politics, and she knows the damage, and she knows exactly, right, you know, what can come out of this, right? You remember when they went after him one time before,
right,
okay?
Right.
They went after him one time before. Then all of a sudden, the light bulb should have come on then.
Yeah.
For an educated individual, the light bulb should have come on and say, you know what? They're coming after me.
Well, you smart.
I noticed with him, he called himself a hip hop mayor. He's from that generation, and I'm noticing a lot of those young men in that generation. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, they making money. They got power, And they feel like they can do what they want to do. The rules don't apply to them. Some people can handle power. Some people can't handle power. And I think he just got caught up on his own power and his cockiness. He's very cocky. And
yeah, but
he
but
has to grow up on that. You know,
you're right.
Sure.
You're right. But like I tell people, I said, if you look at the makeup of the United States government, you look at the CIA, you look at the FBI, you look at the makeup, right? You're going to go so far, right? It's just like this political thing going on, right? They didn't bring, you know, they knew about that preacher with Obama long time ago, but you were getting too close. So I'm going to let certain things out right now. Right? It's the same thing they did with the Detroit mayor. You know, he knew they were coming after him, but you know what? I'm going to go to the edge a little bit. I'm gonna run to the mountain a little bit, then I'm going
to
run back.
Well, I beg to differ. He had been doing this. See, like, you're getting an insight now. See, this has been going on back in the 90s.
True.
You see what I'm saying? So I'm going, see, white media didn't get hip to it to 2000 and then 2002 and stuff. See, Detroiters didn't know what's going on, but the thing is that he's young because, like I said, who else you know got caught up on text messages? You see what I'm saying? So I'm going, this is the first black mayor that got caught up on text, and they got him lying and this and that, but this is politics. Hillary just sit there and said that she was in bomber, and, I forgot the name of this place, but they were shooting at her. Now she's saying, oh, that didn't happen. She lied.
Yeah,
but my point blank is, what are we talking about? Politicians. We're talking about situations where people get their position by lying. And so this is a young guy again, and he got a position. Now, come on, we older guys. Don't you think that kind of blow his mind? He got him a little girl over here. He got a wife. He got a city to run. He got casinos coming in. And, you know what I'm saying, this is Motor City now. So he's feeling a little bit thuggish. All this into a young man. So I'm just saying, as remember how we done came up, what we've been through. Now remember, just imagine having that power that he got right now at that age, and he don't know what it is to struggle with the kids by without the woman. See what I'm saying? You know this, all right? Then you understand what it is to be a man, a black man in America. That's why I had a problem. Someone from out of America telling me what the depression I'm going through as a black man in Detroit. So I'm just saying, as you're right, you're absolutely right. But the problem is that he's not us. And we wouldn't have made that. I do that shit every day. I would not make that mistake if I had that opportunity, Beverly.
And this girl, his chief of staff, this was his high school sweetheart. They've been going together for years. His wife know about this. I mean, this is not something that him and her just are going together. They've been together for years. They were together at Cass Tech High School. She went one way. He went another way. They married while they was in college. When he came back, I think this was 98, he was up in Lansing. He was a state representative. They got together. They've been messing around for years. Everybody, I mean, people that's dealing that keep up with politics in the city here, they knew what was going on. His wife knew what was going on.
And she was married and had a husband.
Yeah, but I have no doubt a lot. You know Detroit, right?
Yes.
I have no doubt that a lot of people knew. You understand?
Yes.
But then, and for me, right, it's just like the military. You know, you'll do certain things, And you know, they'll tap you on the shoulder, and then when they get tired, they're going to blow you out the water.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what those white folks did. They got tired now, and they say, you know what, I'm going to hang him out to dry.
Well, he really hung himself. Go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead. No, you're right. Go ahead. But
right, he hung himself because I'm going, like you said, they first time they went after him, that should have been a wake-up call, but I'm going to play it on the young thing. Then they went after him now, and they're using his personal, but his personal, that's what they're not using. They're going after his position. But I say this, he got a lot of casino. The mayor, Young, didn't want to give up Detroit. A lot of stuff in Detroit that done got gave up. So he got a lot of people in their pocket, and this is Detroit. And I'm just saying, as See, people was quick to judge. The newspaper was quick to print. But the reality it is come on, we living in a society that we got a gangster in the White House, and we know about it. All right, and he got to have a little sense of humor. Okay, so I ain't mad at him. So, now, he's not too surprised about what's going on in Detroit, are you?
Well, come on, now. I mean, not surprised. You know, in 20-something years in the military, I've seen it all. Okay?
Right, I've
seen it all, been all over. But what I'm saying with us now, to a point, you know, when we get up there, right, who controls the United States of America, right? You know, the first and foremost thing, you know, we can get so much, we can push so much, right? But we have to know, you know, how to push. Right, and then right, yeah. If you're having this extramarital affair, right, for so long, right, don't you think we knew it? Your friends knew it. Guess what? These guys in the CIA and FBI and everything is not just the people in Detroit, right? The law enforcement in Detroit, they had to get help from somebody else on the outside to push him down.
Right.
You know, and that's what's going on right now, because people don't realize when they sign that stuff into there about phone tapping and all that other good stuff, guess what? They open up a whole new world.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it just went into effect in March or May. They just put that new spy satellite up in the sky.
Check this out. They finna start running into people's houses to test where what they doing is they sitting up there looking inside your house. This new HD coming out, you don't have to have it plugged up. And it's a miracle. You can plug up, so think about it. In our lifetime, you plug something in the wall, and you can see all over the world. So imagine what they got now if they came up with the doggone ID in 1938 and we didn't get it into 1985. So imagine what they got now that's kind of practical, that TV can see what's going on. So a lot of people finna get busted from that TV and the doggone cell phone because it tells you. It got a thing on there to tell you that you can put it on an emergency or put it on any time, for they'll know where you at, but they can always hear what you're saying when they get good and ready.
But I don't know if you did any time in the military, but let me, you know, I'm sitting up in here. We can go to the field, trust me, and punch in things.
I done talk karate to the police station in the squad,
yeah.
So I got an idea what you're about.
And I'm sitting up in here, right, and we can go to the field and sit up here in a 109 van, right? And I can sit up here and call and hear people in Germany. I can hear people in Detroit. I can hear people all over the place, you know. I can sit up in just, a, you know, and the biggest thing is this has been happening, right, like I said, since I was a private, you know, 23, 24 years ago. So this thing's been happening. People just sit up here and they were so, they were so naive. They didn't even know, you know, things were going on, right, within their old community. Right now on the Internet, you can sit up here and you can go into a MapQuest and you can come back and point into a street and see the houses on the street.
Right.
It has got so deep, right, that's why I said when people are running for politics now, right, if they sit up here and they don't get this stuff together, they're going to be wiped out.
Well, that's how come I think that Obama is so popular. Because he's being smart. He's being a smart politician. And that's what you're going to have to be now. That old way of just doing what you want to do just because who you are, that's gone now.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, check that out. It's like the Ku Klux Klan. They smarter now. They own candy bars. We buy them. Why sit there and argue when you can put something together that like a something that helped people and never know who owned it and just shut up and make money? That's what the world been doing all the time. And I'm going, now we just catching on. Like you said, they sleep, they're not paying attention. You're right. People wake up at different times and ages of life and stuff. And when we woke up, you know what I'm saying, only we know. But understand, a lot of people sleep, bubbly.
And also I wanted to talk about this news media we have that's going on here. Now, this news media, they got a problem with Detroit. This media, especially the print, the free press, they the one who came out with this story with the mayor. And they have been against Detroit ever since we had Coleman Young as the mayor. They, whatever Detroit do, every time we try to progress, they knock it down. Because their whole thing is that they are going to destroy, put bad publicity out there until they get a white person as mayor of Detroit, and then it will change. Because they report news in the suburbs different than they report in the city. We got some city officials in the suburbs that's doing things worse than the mayor is. But they
hey, Beverly, I gotta be the devil acumen on that. All right, this is since we journalism and we on the news, I say they selling papers and they looking anything they can put a fire under. All right, then, because I really don't think they care who or what get into office, even though a lot do. All right, then, in the suburb and fighting with the inner city forever. But I think the newspaper in the business of making news and finding out and making everybody do exactly what we doing, talk about it, selling it. And since the internet been out, this is like the last days for the newspaper. So they got to get it where they can get it.
No, I think it's that too. But the main thing is, because I have been watching them for years, I noticed they did the same thing with Coleman Young, but Coleman Young was slicker than the president, than the mayor that we have now.
Smarter.
Yes, he's smarter and slicker, however you want to say it. He was smarter. But and then when Archer came in, Archer did things the way. Archer was a black man with a European mentality. The news
a lot of money came up missing in Archer's hair.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not just about them selling papers. It's deeper than that. It's the control thing. So their thing is, yeah, I understand he did some things he shouldn't have did. He should have been more smarter. But the news is saying, we're going to regulate, we're going to dictate who your mayor is going to be, and we're saying that this guy needs to be out. That's what that
I like what our guest said. Our guest said that there's rules and regulations that people know exist. And I'm like, that's right. And I'm going, and when people go in and are bending the moves and flexing the moves in everybody's eyes, then what you expect, you're going to get their attention.
But that's what it is. You know, my thing is, to the lady when you said Mayor Archer, he had a European mentality, right? But
yeah.
But the biggest thing is, you know, sometimes you got to look at the individual and look how smart they are. If you look at most of your corporations and most of your big businesses in the United States of America, who are they being run by? Who is the chief CEO? People from Europe? People from Asia, right? And you have to play to that. And what happened? We are not doing that. You know, the white folks right now ain't running too much, right? They're white, but they're coming from a different country. Because if you look at most of your chemical people, your chemical engineers, your makers engineers, and all that good stuff, they're coming from different countries,
right?
And they're owning these things, and they're becoming CEOs, and they're buying up these corporations. Right, and if we not smart, right? Because when I was in Germany, I spent about 8 years in Germany. When I was in Germany, right, people in Germany don't own more land than people sitting right here. You know, they own more property and land in the United States than they own in Germany.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right. Hold on, Japan too. They own a lot over here in America.
You see, so what it comes down to, you know, the problem with us is that we have lost respect for self and for family, okay?
And
for each other.
We was uneducated too.
But the problem is we have lost that respect to the point where if you look at the Koreans, now we are the second largest minority behind the Spanish, right? Right, and then as soon as somebody take over, we're going to be way down there in the totem pole. And who's going to listen to us anymore?
Well, no, we okay now because we got more mayors, more doctors, more lawyers, more professional people.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Other than the whites.
I'm telling you. If you look, and I beg to differ, right? Because right now, right, the best doctors, right, and the best lawyers coming out of the Caribbean islands. From Cuba,
okay, you know what? I was thinking the United States, so you're right.
No, but they're coming over here. If you go to most, if you go to most of your universities, right? I'm talking about your Division One and your big universities. I'm not talking about black universities right now. I'm talking about the big universities. And people from Africa, people from the Caribbean, people from different places, and these are black individuals, right, coming over, right, and being the doctors and being the lawyers and being the different. You understand what I'm saying? And what happened? You see, and we, you know, and I say that to say this because I know, because for me personally, I wasn't born in Nice. I was born in the Caribbean, and I came to Detroit, and I saw this trend. You see, I saw this trend. Okay, and for me, I speak for everybody to the point where I said, hey, what have to happen is that the kids here, you know, we have to give them something better, right, to excel in school, right? Because it's not everybody can be a rapper and make money, period. Okay? We have to have another profession.
So what you're saying is that we don't stick together. We don't come together. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I knew that a long time ago.
Well, see, how long you live in Detroit?
Say again?
How long you lived in Detroit?
I went to high school. I graduated out of Detroit. Huh?
No, but how long was you there?
Shoot, my residence is still in Detroit. I come back and forth every year. My mother and my brother and them still there.
Have you ever owned a business in Detroit?
Have I owned business? My mother owned a business there.
Well, then guess what? In my beauty and barber supply, liquor stores, and anything else I don't own here, the majority of my businesses wasn't but black people coming in there. So you can't tell me that because I don't open up businesses with a little bit to nothing, and the women folks had me up and running within a month. And I'm going, I ain't going to lie to you, I've been all over the world, but I couldn't do it like I could do it in Detroit, all right? Then black people do stick together. I don't live in the area, Rosedale, Palmer Wood, all dominated black. And I'm going to get a lot of professional people, maybe be high or low. So that's what I'm saying. I think it's different on that. Detroit, I haven't been out in California, New York, Chicago, and guess what? Black people don't even know to open up their own place next to the Orientals or whatever and say black owned and black operated. That's not being prejudiced. That's letting everybody know who you are. You got it open. And most likely, if you go into the Japanese or the white area and open up a store, you won't last 90 days. So black people do stick together because that's the only way we can really make our money. Ask the rappers.
Yeah, but the biggest thing is, you know, what large conglomerates, okay, if you can sit up here and name 10 large conglomerates in the United States of America that is black-owned, right?
Right, you're right, right. They're going global. You're right. Like you said, they had opportunity to travel. And a lot of people have. There's people who have never left the west side of Detroit or the east side of Detroit or Chicago. You know what I'm saying? But it's sad, though, because we was in that mentality. Some people go to Vegas, and they think they done seen the world. Some people sit in front of the idiot box and see the world and don't move out that room. It's just, that's what kind of people we are now. We depressed and we limited, and we got so many things to keep us occupied that we don't even try to think. We let other people do our thinking. So this is this new world order. We like cattle. Go ahead.
I think we're waking up. I don't think all of us are asleep.
I know we're waking up. They made a mistake and dropped technology in the ghetto with this internet. All right, then just like we got our guests on the phone right now. It's a beautiful thing. It's technology. We're talking. We're using it. So people are educating each other. They cannot, like I said, they're going to start taking kids in school. By the time they get to sixth grade, they're going to know the whole doggone law system. It's a win-win-win situation.
But, you know, the biggest thing what I see, and Detroit is not the only place. I work for the public school system here, right?
Okay.
And in the elementary school system. And, you know, and you're trying to, out of, you have like 20 kids in a class, right? 15 of them failing in reading and math, right? And you have teachers don't live in the community coming in to teach a kid, and then they go out and they don't care. So we have to take the we're still not taking the responsibility. We can talk, we can throw rhetoric all day, right? But most of our individuals are not taking the responsibility to pull one up. We still have that crab in the bucket mentality.
Well, you know, a lot of them, it's hard for them to even live. And like I said, living in Detroit right now, I have a lot of them getting sitting out, bro. Can't pay bills. A lot of marriage and love is getting messed up because of the factory leaving. I'm like, I've been a lot of places, but it's like, you know, it's like it's sad, okay? Then you see friends, neighbors, you know what I'm saying, even family members, they leaving up and going where they think is best at because they really, this is by design. I have seen this happen in California, and I've seen this happen in New York. I've seen a house that when I went to my reunion, all right, then I seen a house back in the day for $40,000. Right now, it's a damn $1 million. And it's looking like a barn still.
Look, you're right. You know, like my mom and dad, like I told them, right, when they moved out of Detroit, and when they moved out and they built a house, right, I told them, I said, with the money you paid up there, you could have a mansion down here, right? I sitting up in here, and yes, in little Oklahoma, yes, I paid about $50,000 for a three-bedroom, big old backyard, living room, dining room, one-car garage, the whole works, ranch style, right? And I know if I had come back, right, I'm not saying that I give up in Detroit or whatever it is, but I had three kids to raise, and the school system, you know, and, you know, my oldest son is at Oklahoma State University, right? He's a senior this year. My youngest son just got a scholarship to East Central University to play football, right? My daughters are honor students, so I'm looking at the environment. I'm looking at where I can put them, right, to make sure they excel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I go, you know, and going up there and walking the streets on the east side of Detroit and coming down Mac and always
Mac.
I used to live between
Mac and Molly. I used to live on for Hancock and Forest.
But I think that the key that you said, what the problem is the school. I think the school system, because you got a school system. If you got a system that's not right, it's not even set up right, and they training our kids, why do we lose so many young men in the system? Because a lot of times they teach us one thing in school, and then when you come home and your parents teach you another history, and it's like, well, wait a minute, in school they said that Christopher Columbus discovered America, and they said this. And the kids are saying, well, I'm sitting up in school, and they're telling me all kind of lies.
But you know what, ma'am? We got to get away from right now, we got to get away from history and start going into math, reading, and technology. Because if we don't, right, there will be more of us lost, right? And what is happening, this new system right here, when the kid come home and – okay, Christopher Columbus this, Christopher Columbus that. But we are not teaching him no math, no reading, and no technology. So when he goes up here and this guy asks him to run a computer, he can't run a computer, right? He don't know the technological, the scientific aspect, right, electronics to this to something. Guess what? He ain't getting that job. And then he gets frustrated.
Right.
Because he's not up with the world. You know, history is not going to teach. The only thing history going to do right now is, if you want to be a teacher, to go teach history in class. But if you don't study math and reading and science and technology right now,
right,
you might as well go somewhere else.
And you're right, and that's why I'm saying the system is not set up right, because they should be teaching what you just said, math, science, technology. That should be taught in preschool, kindergarten, all the way through. Plus, they should teach the law. The children should learn about corporation and law. All of that, it should be taught in the early stage.
And they should teach them survival, too, how to live off the land.
Yeah.
Okay, and how to grow organic food and stuff.
Yeah. So I just think that it's a problem. This is how come we have this mentality, this mindset, because of the system, the educational system that we have.
But you know what?
I'm quite sure you work with your children because you are an educator.
Well, I was in the military before, but I never was an educator until I retired from the military. But the same thing, when my kids came from school, the first thing they did was to sit right there and do homework before they do anything else. And you know, my mother and father have been married for 50-something years, all right? And that's what it taught me. You see what I'm saying? So I instilled that back.
Right. A lot of people wasn't that fortunate. I had to come home from school to sit down and had to do my homework. But I had a lot of buddies used to laugh at me because they'd be out in the streets hanging around, but they dead and gone now. So
yeah, well, growing up in Canton, that's what happened, because as soon as I came and I walked down Countryville and coming out, you know, on Concord to come home, right, boom, you know, the same thing, hey, let's go play, right? Let's go over to Barry and play ball. No, right? My mother and father, hey, there you go. After you finish, you can do that. But by the time I finish, it's dark anyway, and I'm not going out.
Right.
But we don't have that no more.
Yeah, right. And so I think that the system, the school system, needs to be changed, and it needs to be changed in the early part of the school system, not after they get up in college, because you lose so many people before they even get to the college stage.
You know what my son said? My son said up here, and he called me, and he said, you know, Dad, the high school these days don't even teach you anything to get into college.
Yeah.
You know, and that's an individual who, you know, he's doing good, you know, because he had a foundation. But what about the other individual who don't have foundation?
Exactly. That's what the problem is. And I'm looking at my grandchildren. They are in elementary school, and they go to school in the suburbs, and they're not even teaching them the time, the multiplication. They give them a sheet of paper and have them to look at that when they do their problems. When I was in school, we had to learn those multiplications backwards
yes,
and forwards.
Yes,
they're
ma'am.
Not even teaching them that now. So that's yes. what I'm saying. A big part of the problem and the mentality of the people, that's the younger generation that's coming up now, is the school system is the problem.
It's flawed. You're right. It's flawed. And I work in there, and I tell you, it is flawed, because, and I came in there, and I said, when I first got there in the third grade, they don't even teach the kids multiplication until they start in the third grade. And I said, you know what? Here you go, these kids in the fifth grade and don't even know the 12-times table. And I'm like, I said, you know, it's wrong. But the biggest problem is the parents are not getting involved. They're not coming to the schools and getting involved. They sit up and they want a teacher to raise a kid. No teacher gonna raise my kid.
But see, but you gotta also look at the way things are so tight now. And I'm not using this as an excuse, but a lot of times the parents working. Some parents working two jobs. Some parents is working long hours. I mean, and it's they doing everything they can to put food on the table. You know, and I'm not saying that's an excuse, but things is different. It's harder than what
I would, ma'am, I beg to differ, right?
Okay.
Because you know what I beg to differ is out of due respect, because you know what? You know, for me personally, right, and I'm going to tell you how I got to, my kids were like 3, 5, and 9, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The mother passed away.
Okay.
3, 5, and 9 at that age, right? That's 12 or 13 years ago. Okay, now they're 22, 17, and 15, right? One in college getting ready to graduate, the senior. One on his way to college, and my daughter doing good right now. But for me personally, right, I was in the military, and I got out, right? I had 20-something years anyway, and I decided, I said, you know what, I don't care. I would clean streets. I wouldn't even care. But I want to see my kids. I want to take them to school, pick them up. I want to be there, right? And, you know, certain times, you know, we have to sit up here and get, like, our ancestors or, you know, or our grandmothers and stuff like that used to do. And what happened in today's generation, they don't want to do that, because most of the time I go down to the VFW and I'm sitting up there for a little while. Some of my students, you know, I look at a kindergartner or a first or second grader. The, you know, mom and dad is out in the club, and I said, hey, where the kids at? So and so. And this is another third grader taking care of two little kids sitting at home. We have lost the value.
Well, no, what it is.
The key is you were in the military. You had discipline training.
Ma'am, no.
But don't have discipline training.
The military didn't do that to me.
No,
you know,
I
had discipline with my mother and father.
Mother and father, right. You had discipline with your mother and father. A lot of people don't have that, and they don't understand that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, because of that, they get an attitude when you try to tell them what's wrong with you, and you see what's wrong with them. But
yes,
they don't believe it because they didn't have that same situation. Like, I had that same situation. I had to come home, and my father said, be home, or I'm in trouble. My buddies laughed at me. Now, like I said, they all messed up, and you can't tell them nothing. And they household... Everybody cussing. I'm grown, and we don't cuss around my mama. And my father would have laughed. We dad wouldn't cuss or say nothing. Before he died, he said, if you ever talk back to your mama, I'll get all up my grave and kill you. So we know what a discipline is. When you talk to other people who ain't had it, they get an attitude. They don't want to talk about it because they know something missing and ain't right. But they don't get it. It ain't their fault. But you're supposed to understand it now and bring it in your life. But a lot of us are used to the madness. They're like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. And that's how them kids get messed up.
You know, I mean, you're right, sir. You're absolutely right. And we, you know, we just have to, you know, one by one, you know, because what it has down here also is a thing called teen court, which my kids belong to, is what happened when a young kid did something wrong. I ain't talking about shoot somebody or whatever it is. They have a program where they are judged by their peers. You know, they're going in a real courtroom, the real judge sitting up here, but the peer is going to be, you know, the prosecutor and the defense attorney and his mother and the whole works. And the biggest thing is, you know, whatever sentence their peers give him, that's it. You can't go back to that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good. That's interesting.
Hey, Beverly, I know you want to dive on this mayor here in Detroit here.
Oh, but, hey, I'm going to sit on and listen to y'all for a while. I got to run and talk to this. My sons are after them.
And I got to commend you. You are one of the rare ones, a great father. So I thank you on that one. There ain't too many of us left. I feel the same way you like you do. But remember, a lot of us don't have the opportunity because there's all kind of thriving people out there. But you keep up the great work, okay? And thanks for calling in.
Thanks for allowing me to say something, sir.
Appreciate it.
Okay, bye, ma'am.
Bye-bye. Yes, Donnell.
Yeah, so what do you think about your mayor? Personally, like I said, I don't like the idea about, okay, like his personal life. I don't like the idea, but I think that's foolish what he did. But like I said, young, and you got to remember, this is the first person in history that I know of in America or whatever, like they get caught up on text messages, and they saying he's using public facilities, so we have the right to know. So like I said, everything is technicality. All right, then, and I'm going... And he is a little cocky, but I still bring that up on their era and their time and stuff and everything, okay? And, but, all right, then, like I said, I think the media did what it's supposed to do, give the news, and they try to make the money, and because of the internet and other news stuff out there, if the media and the newspaper ain't selling, you know what I'm saying, it's all the all-time rookie low now. So this is like what they say, one of the things is Moby Dick coming in, and everybody got to get a piece. All right, then from the top and the bottom. So they jumping all over. Detroit don't need this black eye. He's a young black mayor. He was wrong. But I think between the wife, his job, and whatever the outcome is, I think he got enough on him before we go in and just start making our own opinion because I'm going, go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, but you're saying he was wrong. How do you know he was wrong? Because what he's saying is, that
no, I didn't say he was wrong.
No, you just said he was wrong. What I'm saying,
but his personal though, with his wife,
with the girl, with his girlfriend, he was wrong with what?
No, go ahead.
That's what he's saying. He's saying is that he hasn't done anything wrong. He's saying that he's been convicted. What the media is doing a lynching. They doing a media lynching. I've seen them do this before. Our media in Detroit is more than just selling paper. That they want to control the politics. They want to say who should be in office. And they've been really on Detroit. And to me, yeah, it's part of selling paper. I mean, naturally, but it's a little deeper than that. And so what he's saying is he haven't did anything wrong. And he's saying that you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. He's saying he innocent. And as far as his girlfriend, that's hearsay. We all going on what hearsay. So we're not in the room with them. And as far as the text messages, how we know he wrote it? Somebody could have had his telephone. Somebody could have been playing on his phone. My grandkids get on my phone and use my phone. How do we know that?
Hold up, they done called me plenty of times. Yeah, they done called me plenty of times.
Right, right. So, I mean, all of this is hearsay. I mean, and unless they have a camera in the bedroom and they got pictures of them really doing the do, I mean, who is to say that they did the do? But that's his moment. Who is to say
they're not going to even use that. They're going to use the idea of the concept that he lied on the oath.
What did he lie about?
But they're going to say he lied about having an affair. He lied under oath.
How can they say he lied about having an affair and they don't know unless they was in the bedroom with them that he had an affair?
Well, like we said earlier and everything, everybody knew they was going together, but like you said,
that's hearsay because
it's
in the bedroom with them.
Well, it's like saying I got a husband and wife and they're not husband and wife. Like you said, people don't know what goes on behind doors. Somebody might be sleeping in the attic or somebody might be sleeping in the basement. Right. But they just use an idea that they use government for. And they said he tried to hide the concept of the text messages, so he was willing to pay the police out to bury the text messages. So they got him like on a catch 22. In other words, he both had got the text messages from paying them off, and oops, all of a sudden, the deal was all let out the bag. And now they done let all his information go in the book of
the
quiet deal.
The pre-press let it out the bag. They went and got it under the Freedom of Information Act. And that's why I said we have had problems in Detroit with our media, with our newspaper. We, for years, since Coleman Young, we have had problems with our newspaper. Anybody that's been following politics since Coleman Young can tell you that it's a serious problem with the media when it comes to Detroit. Not the suburbs, but Detroit, there is a serious problem there.
Well, like I said, I'm going to go ahead and just say that the media is just trying to, as they say, cash in on what's going on. But then, as you said, there's definitely some prejudice in it. But like I said, they still trying to make the topmost of it, though. That's what I believe.
The media is trying to control because the courts, they did what they were supposed to do. They went, they filled the text messages up, everything was a done deal. The Free Press came in. They sent their attorneys to go and open this stuff up. That's why I'm saying it's a control mechanism. It's a thing they saying, no, we don't want you to be mayor. We want such and such, just like the guy that's the president of the city council. He want to be mayor so bad, and he will be next in line to be the mayor. I'd rather for Kwame, with all of his cockiness, I'd rather for him to be the mayor than that guy. He can't even run city council. How he going to run the city? And he would be next in line to be the mayor. I could deal with Kwame Kilpatrick's cockiness and his immaturity than this guy, because this guy, he ain't got it. I'm looking how he's running the city council, and he can't even do that. The women beat him up every day, the women's on the city council. They spank that behind every day. So how he going to run the city? And then he emotional, So I know what the news people is doing. Yeah, we in media, but we try to be fair. But this media here in Detroit, I've been watching them through the years. I know where they coming from. All of this started from the Free Press. They started from the court. The court they were fine with everything. Everything was done legally and everything. It was the newspaper that went in and got this. And this wasn't all about no selling no papers either. It's about they want to put in who they want in. And when they say a person should get out, they feel like they got the power to kick them out. Donnell?
Yeah, well, you know what? Like I said, well, they did do a lot of sell on paper, though, didn't they? All right, then they selling paper, and they did put a big print in the day that he should resign. And I still think they selling paper, and it's the media. That's what they do. They step on their toes.
Him.
Right, well, think about it. If they can get a reaction, that's more paper to be sold, and that's what they do, freedom of speech. So I think they're just temping it. And this is Detroit, and I think they're temping it. And like you said, now a lot of them live in the suburb, and I like to hear opinion of the people who live in Detroit to the people who live in the suburb. But like I said, you can see the difference. But, like, he's young, and he did a lot of, you know, like I said, tacky little things and stuff, because I really don't want to know the young man business. But at the same time, he is young, and about these others, you know, like the murder case and this and that and everything, well, you got to remember, all that stuff came up to 80 years, 15, 15, 15, 15, 5, 5, 5, 5.
They ain't got nothing in there about no murder case. All of this is prejudice. All of this is the lying, the obstruction of justice. Ain't nothing, misconduct in office. Perjury, conspiracy, ain't nothing about no murder case. All
oh, okay,
of this is
then.
About lying.
All right,
know?
So that's another system.
Yeah, that's something else totally. That's something else totally different. But what what they talking about is lying. You know, and my thing is, how you gonna say a person lying and you ain't even been there? So how can you know? That's you. I'm telling you that I saw you at the hotel with so-and-so, and you telling me you wasn't at the hotel, and I'm saying you lying, and you going to tell me, how you going to tell me where I was at, and I'm telling you I wasn't there. That's what this is about.
Yeah, well, like I said, they judging, and I'm like, you know, everybody else, let the court handle it and see how it turns out and stuff and everything, and he did put a plea in, not guilty. So I'm just saying that, so... Maybe, just maybe it's a possibility he know what he's doing. And like I said, I like the kid. I don't like the idea how everything going down. But like I said, he's one of the youngest mayor, and we did expect, you know, different trouble about his personal, the wife and him and the girlfriend don't got a problem with it. And I don't, none of my business, but what I don't like is that there's money thing. And I think we got a few minutes left, Beverly, but didn't we say we were going to come up with a solution for this situation?
Yeah, what solution?
Well, my point is, okay, then, most of the people are mad about the money, all right? And they're getting hyped off about the girlfriend and the other situation. Like I said, that's the wife business. If she can handle it, she's a prince. I mean, she's a queen in my book. All right, then if she can handle that, then bingo, all right? Then they need to handle that. But on the situation about the money, in the lawsuit, I think this kid is smart enough and young enough to figure out a way as to stand up and say, look, you know, I feel bad that Detroit think I'm the cause of this lawsuit and everything. And I think that he got enough connection and know how to put a business together and stuff to make the $8 million or whatever that Detroit think that he owes. And I think he's smart enough to come up with a situation to pay it off. And still run for mayor of Detroit, because if he pay the money off, pay for his taxes off, pay his attorney off, and say, look, I'll be man enough, give me a couple of years, I'll figure out a way to pay it off in different projects that I'll invest my own money in Detroit, and I'll pay the $8 million or half of the $8 million to show how a bigger man is. If y'all think I'm the problem, I think he got a win-win situation, because they trying to play, they mad at him about the money. And then if he get out, his lawyers and them, if he pay them to help him out with the misunderstanding of choice of words, then I think he will be able to stay in office. I think that they're going to use their best intelligence. But if he dares sit there and say, look, I'll pay half of that money out of my own, or even all, that Detroiters wouldn't have a problem with him, Beverly.
So that would take the air out the balloon that the media is trying to crucify
right
him, is that if he come find a way to pay, because what the city got to pay, then that would really defuse that balloon.
Even half of
right
it.
Okay.
They'd be like, okay, all right, then he understand. But Beverly, this is the end of our show. It's 10:59, so everybody take time to have a peaceful and beautiful evening. And maybe next time we'll finish up what's going on here in Detroit. Take care. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
This. The world that you know. You've been living in a dream world.
Blog Talk Radio.